Metu Netter, Volume 5, Keys to Health and Longevity. Ra-an-nefer, Amen. Continuing with Chapter 7, beginning on page 117. Sebek, the desire for security. Happiness and therefore health cannot be secured if our lives are insecure, and insecurity is natural to the human stage of development. At this stage, man is convinced that the physical world controls and determines what he can will. It is a mind over matter concept of living. Yet man feels a desire that drives him to go beyond his limiting view of life. This desire emanates from the Sebek faculty of the spirit, but it is first processed by the animal brain dominated cortex. Ruled by the convictions that earthly realities are the dominant forces in life, man's will is expressed in the feebleness that is characteristic of the identification with the human as the self. Before detailing this behavior, we must first take a look at the inner workings of the Sebek faculty. It operates through the lower left portion of the cortex that is in charge of verbal thinking. It is therefore in charge of clothing in words man's attitude, outlook, aspirations, desires, and so on. It is the messenger of the gods. It corresponds to Hermes and to Mercury, as styled in the Roman tradition. When we act, will feebly to initiate movement in life, in the life force, to realize a goal in life, the Sebek faculty reveals our attitude with which such words as wanting, wishing, hoping, believing, having faith, and so forth. There is no conviction or assurance that the goal will be realized from the simple fact that we do not know that the life force must obey the will 100%. It is like the general of an army asking the troops if they want to fight. There's a similar diagram as before with an arrow pointing downward with 4 points on it. The first point being the self, the will expressed in a feeble way, the mind, contents of the mind, thoughts conveying the weak act of the will, wish, want, hope. Life force, psychic force, life force carries out the will tentatively. And the last one, physiological functions and events in your life. The problem is exacerbated by the practice of verbalizing the will. We saw in the Het Heru sections that the imagination is in charge of the expression of the will. Not only do people use words to express their will, they do so with feeble words. I wish, I hope, I must keep the faith, I believe that I will, and so forth. As a result, the life force does not receive the command that it needs and therefore moves in turn in a feeble manner. Failure with which its train of stress is a result. And if that was not enough, the animal brain-controlled cortex spews out such thoughts as I am a failure, I am worthless, etc. In addition to having a human self-image, you now have a negative human self-image. People who think that they are in the know will give you prescriptions for thinking positively to restore you to a positive human self-image. In total ignorance that the built-in limitations of even the best human self-image is the underlying cause of the feeble will. The three forms of the human assurance: belief and faith, and reasoning from assumptions. Human man seeks security by assuring himself that his goals will be realized through the belief and faith. In fact, these are the cornerstones of the human self-image. At the human stage of growth, man has not yet developed the ability to base his thinking about his life on the laws and proof. Laws and proofs are the foundation of knowledge, and you accept something as belief because you do not know, and you have faith in it because you do not know how to prove it. Reasoning from an assumed premise is the same. Since the world is rooted in law, all beliefs, articles of faith, and untrue logical judgments that are taken as foundations from living must lead to disaster. Many people know it, yet hold on to the practice for the lack of an alternative, which doesn't exist, and suffer at the very least. The chronic anxiety that accompanies doubts and insecurity, and that on the other end, full-blown psychosis and the attendant physiological pathologies. Divine assurance. Laws guarantee the order and predictable behavior of all natural forces and elements in the universe. Man's life is no different. She must construct her self-image and thinking on the basis of law instead of opinions, beliefs, and assumptions. Law is the source of assurance in life. It is the foundation of the universe, and it is at work in every detail of life. It is for this reason that Ma'at law holds a very high position in Kemetic spirituality. Auset, the desire for learning, transcendence, and growth. The desire to learn is natural to man. It plays a fundamental role in her survival and quality of life. So is growth. Although they are both necessary, there is an apparent antagonism between the two. This has to do with the reality that we grow in stages. The earliest stage in our growth is dominated by the programs that are inherited from the animal kingdom through the animal brains and by our learning about the world, life, ourselves, as processed by the animal brain, dominated cortex, and the concrete thinking lower mind. Those programs and lessons are useful but must be unlearned and transcended if we are to grow into the adult stage. This is taken care of by the divine spirit through the faculty of Auset. The desire to learn, grow, and to transform ourselves emanates from the Auset faculty of the spirit and takes as its goal the realization of our divinity. Stopping our growth short at human adult stage results puts us in a position of living without all of the faculties that are necessary to avoid problems in life. Scholars believe that what they need to do is to make a better and improved human, and the problems in the world will go away. It matters not how improved a human is, it still represents an incomplete man, a man that has fallen short, i.e. a man that is sinful. The faculty that governs man's ability to learn, unlearn, and to grow spiritually is trance. We live for the most part in a normal state of consciousness because it is thus that the program that run our lives are preserved. When there is a need, however, to unlearn and transcend a particular way of functioning, we must go into the altered state of consciousness that nature has provided for the phenomenon. We will come to learn through the meditations provided in this book that the stress-induced illness or healing failures are due to learned sets that must be unlearned and transcended. We must therefore master the skill of entering the state of trance on demand if we want to heal ourselves and maintain well-being. The demand from the divine spirit to transcend stages in growth was recognized by many African traditions. A rite of passage was instituted to make sure that childish behavior and values were left behind as the adolescent transitioned to the adult society. Trance was the chief method employed in the process. Entrance into the warrior society, marriage, installment of kings and queen mothers, into the society of elders and the priesthood all involve ceremonies that employ trance as the chief tool for transcendence. We can safely say that all similar ceremonies in the West, including marriage and even most Masonic institutions, are ineffective for the reason that the alteration of the state of consciousness that is necessary has been neglected. As a result, a great deal of stress is experienced from the clash between the old and the new, the childish and the adult, and so on. We will see in the following chapter that a human cannot fully utilize the faculty of trance to heal spiritually. It is a property of the divine part of her being. Trance must first be used to bring about the divine self-image, Ausar, which will serve as the foundation for spiritual healing. The application of trance for healing without addressing the human self-image results in limited success. Geb, the desire to exert power over the earth. The earthly plane of existence provides man with the greatest challenges to his survival. If we remember that challenge is necessary, hence unavoidable, then we must understand that the challenges of the natural world exist for man's mental and spiritual development. Thus far, mankind has grown to the point of realizing that it is best to meet these challenges through mental application, but it is yet to realize the role that must be played by the higher part of the spirit. Man at the point of his or her creation knows that he or she is divine, but must come to earth to acquire the proof. It is by mastering the physical world through the mind and the spirit that the proof is obtained. Unfortunately, the animal brain dominated cortex can only process the information that limits man to master the word through technology applications outside of his being. By limiting himself, thus he neglects the development of the faculties that are needed for the attainment of health. Summary. While the majority of the people are in the habit of connecting the stress response to specific life events, we learned in this chapter that the most common stressful feeling, unhappiness, is not related to specific events. It is the result of the failure to program into the brain the happiness response or peace joy response to replace the fight flight stress response to life's challenges. We learn that the cultivation of the happiness response to challenges requires the replacement into the mind of 11 laws that are the means of satisfying 11 powerful urges that emanate from the spirit. The failure to appease these desires creates a chronic state of stress that is experienced as a vague sense of dissatisfaction in or with one's life. Invariably, the failure to achieve some external objective is, of course, blamed for the sense of dissatisfaction. You must understand that part, that you must understand that the spirit will not accept worldly accomplishments as peace offerings. It urges can only be satisfied by the laws, information that are stored in its forces. It must be remembered that energy stores information. While scientists have learned to transmit data through energy waves, it has not dawned on them that the behavior of energies and their related particles are guided by the information stored in them. We also learn that man is not a finished product and that the forces that are driving the finalization of his evolution have their origin in the 11 faculties of his spirit. The Paut Neturu, or Tree of Life, the fact that man is still involved in an evolutionary upswing, is lost on most people, not excluding the ones who you would expect to know. The army of professionals in all areas of higher learning, science, and religion. Finally, we have learned that there is a great price that we pay for not responding with happiness, for not appeasing the desires of the spirit through their laws, and for failing to outgrow the human stage. The price is illness and social strife. Yet the upside of illness is that it will be seen one day as the feedback message that we are living in error, that it is caused not by errors of nature, as arrogant men claim, but of man. And here ends the reading of chapter 7.